Resolution 26-003, moved by Councilor Pekkinen, second by Councilor Ryland. Resolve the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby reconvene into regular open session of Council at
6:34.
6:34 p.m. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 26-004, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Hassan. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held on January the 13th, 2026. Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed? Carried. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land on which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they've carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit and work towards truth and reconciliation. Back into regular open session, so I'll ask for a roll call once again.
Councillor Morley Haskell.
Councillor Debbie Zulak.
Councillor Nick Ryland.
Councillor Mike Pekkinen.
Clerk Administrator Carly Britton.
Deputy Clerk Mary Smith.
And Mayor David Moore. Any declarations of pecuniary and a personal interest in the general nature thereof? Hearing none. Down to item 14.1. I have resolution 26-005, moved by Councillor Pekkinen, second by Councillor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby approved the minutes of the December 16, 2025 regular meeting of Council as circulated. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. .1 has been deleted on the request of the applicant. So we're on to 16.1. Resolution 26-006, moved by Councillor Pekkinen, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby received the meeting minutes of the District of Parry Sound West, Belvedere Heights, Board of Management from October 22, 2025 and November 26, 2025 for information purposes. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To 16.2, resolution 26-007, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the Township of McKellar Recreation Committee meeting minutes from November 27, 2025, for information purposes. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to 16.3, resolution 26-008, moved by Councillor Pekkinen, second by Councillor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby received the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee meeting minutes from November the 20th, 2025 for information purposes. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To 16.4, resolution 26-009, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Haskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the Township of McKellar Public Library Board meeting minutes from October 27th, 2025 for information purposes. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To 20.1, Resolution 26-010. Moved by Councilor Kekinen, second by Councilor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby appoints the following individuals to serve on the respective township committees for a term of 1 year. Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee, Jennifer Gent Fuller as Chair, Tony Best, Ross Crawford, Peter Duffy, Rob Gibson, Carl Mitchell, and Rick Spears. Historical Committee, Vivian Moore Chair, Joyce Hopkins, Muriel Junk, Jeanette Clements, Carolyn Phillips, Chris Clayton, and Deborah McMurray. Recreation Committee, Dinah Ryland Brown as Chair, Francis DeGara, Kathy DeGara, Judy Ryland, Phil Jeffkins, Terry Lacey, and Stephen Walmsley. Discussion? Councilor Zulak?
On the historical, isn't Muriel Junk's name spelled wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a C. Yeah.
CK. Any other discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? No, polls carried. On to 20.2, Resolution 26-011. Moved by Councilor Haskell, second by Councilor Zulak. Whereas the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar supports the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee's initiatives that protect and enhance local lakes and natural resources. And whereas the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee, the LSEC, organizes the annual Clean Up Our Lakes campaign to encourage residents to remove debris from shorelines and surrounding areas. And whereas the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee has requested permission to conduct the 2026 Clean Up Our Lakes campaign from May the 11th, 2026 to May the 25th, 2026, consisting of public awareness and signage at the Township of McKellar's transfer station. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby approves the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee's request to hold the Clean Up Our Lakes campaign from May the 11th, 2026 to May 25th, 2026, and further that staff be authorized to permit the installation of campaign signage at the transfer station and assist with appropriate publicity for the initiative. Discussion? So again, that's just the regular garbage bin that we're using. It's not a separate bin as it was a couple of years ago. Okay. All question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. On to 20.3, Resolution 26-012. Moved by Councilor Kekinen, second by Councilor Ryland. Whereas Jan Gibson has served the Township of McKellar and the community as market manager for 10 years, demonstrating dedication, leadership, and commitment to the success and growth of the market. And whereas during this 10 years, the McKellar market manager played an integral role in fostering strong relationships with vendors, volunteers, community partners, staff, and council, contributing significantly to the market's evolution and continued success. And whereas Jan Gibson has formally advised the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar of their intention to retire from the position of market manager effective January the 16th, 2026. Now therefore be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby accepts the retirement of Jan Gibson as market manager, and further that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar extends its sincere appreciation and gratitude to Jan Gibson for her dedicated service, leadership, and valued contributions to the township and the McKellar market, and further direct the clerk to advertise for the market manager position immediately. Discussion? Councilor Zulak?
So, in the third whereas where it says their intention, should it not be her? And at the bottom also?
You notice my pause?
Yeah, I know. You just you omitted it, so I figured that. But yeah, I know they both work, but she was the one that was hired, right?
Yeah, we'll get that changed.
Okay. We're just trying to throw Rob a little thank you.
I know.
Too,
I know.
Any further discussion? All question. All those in favor? None opposed. Carried. Thank you.
don't talk about this one for an hour or two.
Have item 21.1, the resolution 26-013, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Haslam. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2026-01, being a bylaw to amend bylaw 2003-13, being a bylaw to regulate the speed of motor vehicles on certain highways within the municipality, a first and second reading, further give a third reading and pass an open council this 13th day of January 2026. Discussion. Councillor Haskell.
No, I was just kidding. I am curious though, this is to go to, what's the speed limit we're proposing? 40, isn't it?
20.
It's in there. It's in paragraph 2.
Oh, as I was looking for it. You got her. Thank you.
I had to look though too.
And it was confirmed with the residents in that area that that's the speed limit that they wanted to have.
Correct. I spoke to the gentleman who got the petition together and gave him a call, and he said yes, the residents would be agreeable to 20 kilometers per hour.
Thank you.
So let me put the actual wording of the bylaw. I mentioned this before. With the first whereas, I'm wondering if we should actually quote the full extent of it. I realize it's probably not that important, but where it says prescribe a speed limit that is not greater than 100 kilometers per hour, that's in the legislation for motor vehicles driven on the highway portion. I know, but
we weren't proposing 1,000 kilometers per hour.
No, but I just so that we're legal.
Fair enough.
I can change the bylaw.
And I'm thinking of the third whereas, deemed expedient, and could we add in perhaps, and in the public's interest, to amend bylaw 2003-13? But the rest looks good. And, like I say, it's hard to, maybe we'll tell you to write, it's hard to enforce these things, but we're not really responsible to the OPP, but I suppose it's something that can be investigated, at least from our end. Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Unfinished business. Anything on that list you wish to add or delete?
Well, we can delete 20, the last one now.
Last one. Okay, new business. I'm wondering about the information we've received back now from Municipal Affairs, the comments, what we did prior to this meeting, we did in December. We let the Municipal Affairs know that we were dropping the whole thing because they were taking too long and they're not getting back with their comments. We did receive information by December 30th, I think it was, that they suddenly have their comments. So I think what we have, you know, we have a motion that exists, a resolution saying that we are finished with it. I think it's had its effect. Municipal Affairs took notice. Now we have to decide what we do with that motion. Do we keep it in place? Do we send our comments to the planner? If you recall, we amended that resolution, the one that went out first of all, saying that previous resolutions hiring the planner would be rescinded, repealed, but that was amended, taken out. So all it said was that we're finished the process. So we still have the planner available to us, and those comments have come back from Municipal Affairs. We're sort of obligated to a certain extent every 5 years by legislation. We're to update the official plan. We now have a 2024 provincial policy statement. I think they come out every 4 years. So the council has to decide what you want to do with these comments from the ministry now. Send them off to our planner, John Jackson, and what you want to do with that resolution that we had about forgetting the whole process. Do we keep keep that in place until we find out what our planner has to say, which I think is a wise decision, because from what I'm seeing of the comments, I can't, you know, second guess what the planner's going to say, but I don't think they've changed an awful lot from when he commented before on their initial comments back in the summer of last year. If anything, maybe they've been expanded, I don't know. So council has to make the call, and so that Carpenter can word it in such a way what we do with these comments from the minister. Councillor Keck?
Well, I think officially, you know, we need a planner of record to make the comments on behalf of the municipality. And looking at the comments from June 20th, 2025, that John had provided in regard to, pretty well, I haven't had a chance to go line for line, but it seems like a lot of the comments are quite similar. And, you know, John had made the John Jackson planner had indicated on quite a majority of them, no change necessary, no revision here, to you know, basically common sense ones like Lorimer Lake is not in a color. So I think that would be wise to have John's comments, and then if it basically aligns with you know, the comments that he had before, then with his professional opinion, I think that, you know, we'd be able to just advise the MMH that, you know, according to John's opinion, things are in line with what they're requesting. So just that's yeah, what I feel.
Councillor
Zulak? Yeah, so I agree. I think that we should send this off to John Jackson and get his opinion of it.
Yeah, I agree.
Councillor Ryan, same thing.
Should we put for his opinion or something like that at the end?
I haven't seen it yet, so it sounds good. Professional opinion.
Yeah.
That's right.
Councillor Keck, that's it.
Something to the effect that he's not just going to look at it.
Send the Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Housing's comments regarding the official plan to John Jackson Planner, Inc. for his professional opinion. Discussion on that?
Succinct and to the point.
Should it say official plan amendment, or?
I can put OPA number 9 in brackets?
Yes. Good to be more specific, I guess, yes. Okay, it was a friendly amendment regarding the official plan OPA number 9. Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Any other new business?
multiple mayors, with Paul Calandra, Minister of Education. Really,
okay, at this point then, I'm not sure what you're going to say, so I'll declare a potential conflict and I'll let you take over.
Okay. There isn't much new information or information that, you know, the public has basically heard through the news. But the one thing I think that, you know, when we had discussed that previous resolution that we had passed, I can't remember the exact date, but we had added onto it that, that we wanted the appearance of Prairie Sound to be part of, attend that meeting with the minister. And I still feel strongly that their voice is important. Even though they had recently posted that they were stepping back from their advocacy efforts that they were very involved in previously. I don't know if everyone else had seen what they had posted. So important announcement, this was December 1st, 2025. As we close this chapter and move into the next, we want to share an update that represents a major turning point for our community. Parents for Prairie Sound has worked tirelessly to advocate for transparency, accountability, and a safe, stable future for our students. And because of the collective pressure from parents, students, and community members, our concerns are now being taken to the highest level. We are officially handing over the reins to our local municipal leaders. The leaders, we will be meeting directly with Minister, who will be meeting directly with Minister of Education Paul Calandra and MPP Braden Smith to address the future of education in West Prairie Sound. This is a significant step forward. It means our community's voice has been heard. While we will still monitor this page, we will not be posting as frequently. The next phase of this work now rests with our elected leaders, and we trust that they will continue the strong advocacy that brought us to this point. To every parent, student, and resident who spoke up, showed up, and shared information and refused to stay silent, thank you. Your dedication is the reason progress is finally happening. We remain hopeful that the future of education in Prairie Sound is brighter than ever and that real lasting change is ahead. So, you know, with the meetings with the minister, there wasn't anything that, you know, that those discussions shouldn't be, that those discussions could have been open to the public, everyone should have been able to hear. But like I say, the information that was discussed is out in the news. So the minister, you know, has interacted with the media and basically everything that was said. But I still feel that the Parents for Prairie Sound, their voice was so instrumental, and that they were, we can't lose that voice even going forward, because then there might be complacency that everything is good to go. I think that, out of respect as well, that they continue to be part of, you know, somehow, that we don't lose those voices, because they hear from people that we as counselors might not hear from. They'll hear from directly from people, issues and concerns. So I feel it's a big loss to lose their participation in these discussions or this whole effort, because nothing is over until everything is, till the students are in a complete and acceptable, you know, education setting. And you know, that's not going to be until next September. And isn't it important to have them still being part of the process and going and inspecting what's going on to ensure that when those doors open, it's meeting the expectations of everyone that's enduring, you know, this unacceptable situation that they're enduring now. Like, and even that, it's just unbelievable, you know, Minister Calandra has said, you know, it's a depressing education setting that those students are enduring right now. So how do we make it right now? you know, if they're enduring this, and now that there is, you know, flooding down in the basement level of the school just recently, so, you know, how do we ensure that that even what the students and staff are enduring right now is the best that it possibly can be if we're not having those voices of, you know, the advocacy group of something such as Parents for Paris Island. So I think that before the next council meeting, that if we reach out to them just to see, you know, just to let them know that their voice is important and that it's still important. So just my thoughts. Yeah, Councillor Zulak?
So, like you're saying, reach out to them and ask them if they would reconsider staying involved in all of this, you know, to ensure that people are doing their due diligence and it doesn't get sidetracked again.
I think so. I think that's, you know, you want as many people or people of different areas providing input, especially when things have gone so absolutely dismal and you know, 10 years, you know, the municipal governments were concerned about the accommodation review process and what was happening. This is a 10-year disaster in the making, so I think that all hands on deck right to the last minute when things are actually, the door is open, I think is pretty important. So
yeah, they've done such a good job. Don't let off on it now if they possibly can. Maybe they can't do it anymore, but if they could possibly keep up
just
the pressure.
Just to get their input to see, you know, do they really feel that this is, you know, maybe they just needed a bit of a break. Maybe they feel confident that the municipal leaders, but I just feel that until those doors are open, and you don't want the doors opening, and there's a big disappointment, it's not what, you know, everyone was expecting.
Like you said, the parents of the kids would know better than, you know, five people on a council. Even if they could relay their information to the councils, that, you know, then it could be passed on. But, you know, I think they still, if they could possibly find it, to stay involved in some way.
With due respect, I think they are still involved regardless of what they say.
Good.
And I'm not saying they're not telling the truth. I'm not saying that at all. But I think they're just sitting back a bit from there. Which is wise, but I think if they felt the need, they would, I was going to use the word intervene, but I don't think that's
come
a thing.
Forward.
They would announce things and let people
know. Well, that would, you know, as long as you knew that.
Yeah.
But I think it's one step beyond that, is that any further meetings with the Minister of Education, that they're participating in those meetings, because then they can bring up what they're hearing, you know, in real time.
Well,
that we might not be hearing, you know, as counselors.
Yeah.
So I think that if they could be part, you know, attending those meetings, even one representative.
That's what
group,
I was gonna say.
You know,
the representative,
going, yeah,
you know,
so
at the meeting.
Because they'll have questions, they'll have, you know, things they want to bring forward that we might not even think of.
Yeah.
You know, the more voices you have, the better, especially when it's, you know, being in this, we're at this point of this, 10-year making of a disaster, you know. So I don't know how to proceed, but I think that that's what really needs to take place. I, you know, a little disappointed that we didn't keep that one clause in the, now when I'm looking back, that we didn't keep that one clause where we wanted them to participate in the meetings with the minister. You know, we wanted to not cause any issues at that point, but it wouldn't have caused any issues anyways. So
my biggest concern still at this point is that there are approximately 270 students that cannot be accommodated in the new school, because people have pigheadedly stuck with what was decided 10 years ago, And I've seen that not just for this issue, but for other things, where people don't want to admit that the area has grown in population, right? And if you recall, I mean, we moved from 1,111 to 1,400 and whatever, 15, something like that. And the last time I had a conversation with our fire chief, he told me that the numbers that he's getting, which factor into the emergency plan, is somewhere between 1,600 and 1,800, and that's just for McKellar. I think the fundamental failing was building a school with a fixed number of students in mind, and you see it coming up on news stories too, that this is fairly static, the area isn't growing. That's wrong. That changed immediately with COVID, and it continues to this day. And how can we have students moving into a school next September, if we're lucky, when there is not enough space for 270 students based on today? What about the population at that time? I mean, we could be short 500, right? And again, sticking with a plan that somebody made up, I'm not really criticizing the plan, other than there's no way they could have known. And if you're short that many, yes, you can put up portables and you can do some other things, but it's just bad planning, right? The only other saving grace that I'll see, I was looking for it just now, I can't find it, but there was an announcement that, there's two things going on in my head at the moment. One of the concerns also was that the closure of McDougall School, I've seen stories saying that is going to go ahead, and originally they said in January, which obviously is ridiculous, not even vaguely possible. Sorry, the point I was trying to make was that they have either a project person or people, perhaps, I suspect it's a committee, which up until now, based on anything I've ever seen, they never did. And again, nobody in their right mind would do a real estate project and not have a project manager that's on the hook for saying, here's the dates that you've got to meet, and if you don't, there's a problem, right? So having somebody there, or at least maybe there now, is a big plus. But again, we have to do something about the number of spaces for students. And again, if we continue the trend we're on, there won't be 270 short, there'll be like 500 short. And again, because people pay head at least stick with the notion that this is not a growing area. They're wrong, right?
So just on that point, December 17th, the minister, he did indicate that they are reviewing the numbers, that they're not stuck on any numbers that have been presented in the past. They're going to review those numbers, and directly from his words, we will make things right after we receive the full forecasting. So
what does he mean by that? They're going to put an addition on? They're going to make the school bigger?
I'm not sure. McDougall is staying open until, you know, the forecasting comes, you know, they finish their
review. Until they update it, yeah, and that's fair. I mean, nobody can, you know, pull a rabbit out of a hat. I'm not suggesting that. But again, to solve this problem, if it is 500 short, like, and they undoubtedly spend all their money plus some, how are you going to build, you know, facility that would incorporate that number of bodies, right? And for frankly, do I believe that that's doable, possible, or politically viable?
Well, he seemed sincere, and he seemed totally disgusted with what has taken place, and he emphasized several times, we're going to make things right. So,
and that's the best we can ask for. I'll admit to that. But
and he seemed sincere, and it didn't seem like he was, you know, just trying to appease, you know, the people at the meeting. He admitted, you know, what the current learning environment for the students, he said, is depressing. It's disgusting what's taking place. So, and there's still lots of work that needs to be done, you know, with the current project, even, you know, repairs of things that are already in place. So, you know, I think people are going to, you know, just, I think with other projects, I think even with the new Perrysound Public School, there was a lot of things that had to be fixed after, even after the school was, and another thing they mentioned was that the original contractor that signed on for this contract has sold the business, so it's a new contractor that wasn't even involved in the beginning of the process. And then he did mention you know, that it was unusual for a contract, you know, contractors that are not familiar with doing school projects, doing a school project like this, when it would have made sense to award the contract to a contractor that is familiar with school builds. So
that was a board failure, basically.
They just probably took the cheapest fly by night.
Yeah. So that's basically the update. I think that parents repair sound are, I think, still important part of the conversation, part of the oversight of what's going on. So, just my feelings.
So, what are you wanting us to do? Send something out, reaching to them, or what?
I'm not sure if staff wants to do that, or
I can send an email on behalf of council to the parents of Perry Sound, just to say, basically, the council wants them to stay involved to ensure that they do get the adequate school they're looking for. Kind of reiterating that any further meetings with the minister and McKellar council, they can participate. Obviously, we can't speak on behalf of other West Perry Sound councils, but just kind of put the notion that our McKellar council wants them to stay involved.
Yeah, and that the next, if when the next meeting is arranged, that McKellar requests that a representative from Parents for Perry Sound is able to attend the meeting. I think it's so important, you know, just out of respect for what they've done, that they get to actually be at the table. I don't know if that was, you know, one of their decisions, why they are sort of stepping back, because they maybe. Anyways, I feel that they need to be sitting at that table.
We'll see what they say.
They need to be involved, I think, is the last phrase to use, because you know, they can do that a variety of ways. But the only other issue as a counselor that concerns me is one of the things I became aware of last month was the story, at the very least, was that the funding for the Near North School Board that is paid from West Perry Sound is something in the range of 65% of the total bill. In other words, that apparently West Perry Sound is paying 2/3 of the bill for the Near North School Board, and yet we have one board member that was on it. I don't know what their status is anymore, but there's something drastically wrong with that, especially if we don't have proper representation to see how our tax dollars are being spent, and I don't mean McKellar, I mean West Perry Sound. There is something drastically wrong with any situation where we are paying 2/3 and yet we have one vote.
Huh? No kidding.
Yeah. So yeah, that's something we definitely have to address as a council. It was, yeah, there was the representation is absolutely not structured the way it should, and then plus this discrepancy of the how much the West Perry Sound municipalities are paying. It's just unbelievable.
Sir,
can we ask? I don't know. I assume the school board for confirmation of where the revenues come from, like which municipalities?
So the...
Well, I mean, what's the worst they can do is say no, but I mean, I'd like to know, and then that way it would at least be official at that point, because it isn't right now. I mean, it's probably hearsay, but I mean,
it's accurate. Like, I think the Parents for Perry Sound, they referenced that during the last election, then one of the individuals running for trustee used that information to in his campaign to show that, you know, there was this huge discrepancy, and that was one of the things that they were going to be addressing. Mm-hmm. So that's factual, and
okay.
Parents for Perry Sound, they pulled up that information. So
okay. Well, how do we go about addressing this issue going forward? And I'm not expecting like tomorrow or even this year maybe, but something has to be done with that. That's just wrong. Right.
So,
I mean, I know one of the complaints from people both on perrysound.com and from the parents group was that, you know, no meetings were being held in Perry Sound, right? In other words, and the previous director of education was saying it was too far to travel to come to Perry Sound to talk to groups like parents and others, which, of course, he's not there anymore, so we don't have to worry about that. But again, we're paying 2/3 of the bill, and we don't even get you to come and talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and so, but more importantly, I mean, factually, I'd like to get to the facts of how much are we paying and how much are other municipalities paying, right? Based upon I guess the 2026, maybe 2025 information, and if it is as lopsided as that, what are we going to do about it? Right, and as a counselor, I feel responsible for that part, for sure.
Yeah, the numbers should be out there, you know, McKellar. It's public information how much we pay to the, you know, the school board every year. So it's a number out there somewhere if we could find it and do a bit of the calculations.
I know all of you have more time on council than me. Has that ever arisen before? Were you ever aware of anything even like that before relative to the board? The school board, sorry.
Well, DSAB's like that.
Mm-hmm.
DSAB's like that. The pool, a lot of things, the pool committee, right, where McKellar gets one vote, and it doesn't matter if McKellar and Carling say one thing, it doesn't matter, it's going to go anyways. So it's like that with a lot of things. And I was going to ask, was there any mention of us dropping out of the Near North School Board? Remember we had requested that? Did he mention anything about that? Going back up on our own?
Right, so that was mentioned, and he said that's not going to change at the current time.
Mm-hmm.
That there's not going to be any restructuring of the Near North District School Board.
Yeah. I found that story online when I was looking just now, right? Which, I mean, it's just more chaos, but I mean, yeah. At some point, though, it has to be addressed from a financial point of view, that at the very least, we appear to be being ripped off. We being West Paris Sound.
See, and that was information that I think the Parents for Paris Sound had gleaned from, you know, the campaign information from one of the trustees. So, you know, they've done a great research amount of research, so that that's why it's important to have one of them at these meetings as well, because, you know, because they have such a vast amount of research that they pulled together. So,
well, depending on what we find out, then I would like to have a meeting with the school board and West Paris Sound municipalities, right, that members of the public can attend. Because otherwise, they're just unaccountable. We just take all your money and spend it, and too bad for you. And we aren't ever going to come and meet there, which I know they have done. Well, Paul Glendra has, at the very least. But like I said, this is not appropriate. And this is not a small dollar amount. I don't know what our total education bill is, but I know it's very large. And hence, we should care about this. This is to our ratepayers that are paying a portion of this anyhow.
So I just wanted to bring that forward and see
Thank
how council wants to proceed with that in the future, because I think now's the time when the iron's hot, we gotta hit. So
yeah.
Yeah, I think it's very important to get these new numbers that the minister says he's going to get for projections for the amount of children going forward, kind of thing. But I'd like to see that data at some point, you know, and how he got his numbers and everything, because I'm a little worried, because I know he has already made a statement that McDougal will be turned over to the French school board. He has made that statement.
Yes, because that agreement has already been signed, so that's a promise that has already been made, but the time when that happens will depend on when accommodation can be made for, you know, the students that there isn't, may not be room for at the
existing 270, the soon to be 500.
Yeah. So, like, you know, that is going to happen, but the timing of that is not clear, because.
Yeah, what I don't understand, though, is if it's determined that no to just to house our kids in schools, we need all of McDougal for the English school board to just barely have enough. Why would that school be turned over to the French school board? I guess if they're going to build us a brand new school.
Maybe they better start looking for another piece of property to build two schools.
It's
based upon what I observe going to McDougal School with some regularity. There is tons of property there beyond just the school footprint itself. They've got fields behind and to the east of it. And everything else. In other words, that if you wanted to, I know that the school, as it stands, is quite dated, and maybe not appropriate for today's education. But I mean, that could potentially be fixed, and if necessary, build a new wing that goes out onto the property. Right, and again, on the basis that the school board already owns it, that wouldn't cost anything. The construction, of course, would, but not, you know, to buy the property. And that's another point, anyhow, is who looks at this? And again, how many students, I don't know, what can you get into a portable? Maybe 25 or 30? So if there is 500, are you going to have 20 of them there on the day that it opens? And if you do, isn't that embarrassing beyond all belief for anybody that had anything to do with it? Right? In other words, that you were just wholly unprepared, you didn't do your homework, you didn't do your research, you didn't check it out properly. And the people that are culpable for that should be held accountable.
Well, they're gone, right?
Are they? Maybe.
I don't know. That's what,
frankly, that's the other thing I don't know at the moment. I don't know what's going on at all, but I know lots of changes in the works. But like the current status of it, I don't know. And I follow it to some degree, but and at home I didn't think of it relative to this meeting. I have a folder with, God knows, 150 pages in it, because when I see a story, I print it and put it in there so that I know where I got it and what the date was and what the source was. But and I'm glad that we have a new director of education and they're in place. So.
Okay, so that's it.
That was a long one.
Yeah. Get back here, Dave. We need you.
Well, you commented about an hour earlier on one thing, so maybe that's how long this would take. Any other new business?
Nope.
Public notices, announcements, inquiries, reports by council members.
I was just being nice and going to let somebody else go first. But the Recreation Committee, you've seen the minutes there, and I think I did a report after that meeting. But we have a meeting on Thursday at 4 o'clock here. Is it possible to have you set up Zoom for us for that meeting? Thank you. And at that meeting, we'll be discussing a couple items such as the 7th Annual Kids Fishing Fun in February and a snowmobile run in March will be a couple of items on the agenda coming up. And then there's also the Perry Sound Area Planning Board. Did you do a report on that since?
No, I don't think anything.
Yeah, just that two municipalities, Carling and McDougall, have left the Perry Sound Area Planning Board, and so now it's just Whitestone and McKellar. So that puts a little bit of a crunch and change on things. So I believe that staff from our two municipalities are talking right now and trying to work things out on how we're going to make recommendations to the council on how we go forward. So that sounds good.
Yeah, I don't know that Carling has more information on that.
We've met with Whitestone and Patrick on Monday. It was a really productive meeting. Obviously, there's a lot of revenue loss with two municipalities gone, so we're trying to look at we can cut expenses so that the board doesn't have to drastically increase the levy for both municipalities. Ultimately, there likely will be an increase that's acceptable, but it won't be anything too drastic. We're looking at different options, and Patrick will be proposing amendments to the Planning Board's procedural bylaw at the first meeting of the Planning Board, as well as proposing a draft budget. So that first meeting of the Planning Board will take care of what they need to get done business-wise moving forward, and then applications will come at the February meeting. And both myself and the CAO from Whitestone will be attending as well, just to support the board and its members.
That sounds good.
Okay, any other committee reports? Okay, we're on to consent agenda then. Resolution 26-015, with the Councilor Peckton, second by Councilor Ryland, be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received a consent agenda as presented. Any wish 25.18.
Oh yeah, you'll see 115.
Yeah.
Oh, the, okay, the last we heard, they were saying that they were going to charge. Good news, I do think, however, the library community should continue to monitor this situation as there are still ongoing talks about the future for Canada Post, but the federal government will maintain free mailing of materials for the blind as well as reduced rates of postage for library materials, so that's in effect right now.
Okay.
But they're also saying, you know, because of Canada Post's situation, that we have to keep our eyes and what's happening, but right as of right now, the postage for the blind and other things is free. Is that what you were looking
at? Yeah,
that's
okay. Good. I just wondered if they were putting forth a motion about Bill C-15, whether we should be. But
well, we have a, I think we're going to be having our, moving up our library board meeting to Monday. Usually it's at the end of the month, and I was thinking of that maybe. We'll have a discussion there and then see whether they think that we should put something forward.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay.
The other one was 25.20. I don't know who's into tennis, but would that be good to put that support in with the tennis courts at the new school?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that as well, and I thought it was mentioned previously at my meeting, and I think that that's important to ensure that to make up for all the mistakes they made, that they can at least fulfill this one. You know, it's, there's students that look forward to being part of the tennis club. So
yeah, it kind of makes you wonder, should it be tennis courts or should it be pickleball
courts?
I went up to something upstairs, the snowmobile meeting, Braden was there, upstairs there, they should have seen all the kids playing pickleball. Stairs in the community center, ceiling only, but yeah, so as long as keeping that in mind, if they're going to do a lot of expensive tennis courts, whether it's, you know, adaptable or pickleball friendly.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Well, I noticed, I think it was Aurelia, they're actually putting up, I think the building exists, they're just renovating it for pickleball solely. And it's a huge building, so.
Yeah, it's starting to become a sport for the younger people too now. I thought it was for us old codgers. But
okay, any else to pull from that or talk about it? No? All the questions then, all those in favor? No opposed or carried? On to question comment period related to items on the agenda. Anybody in person or on Zoom has a question? No, okay. On to confirming bylaw, resolution 26-015, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2026-02, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council of first and second reading, and further give a third reading and pass an open Council the 13th day of January 2026. Call the question, all those in favor? Not opposed, carried. Item 28, we have resolution 26-016, moved by Councillor Keckman.